Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Before your presence, thank you that whenever we come into contact with your word, we will never leave the same. I lift up this vessel of clay unto you, O God. I ask that your Holy Spirit shall flow through this vessel. Let broken hearts be mended. Let broken lives be put together again. Let the hopeless find hope, O God. Let the weak be strengthened. Let they that be turned out of the way be brought back to the way. And above all, let them that know you better. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have begun to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's a joy to be here, as I've been saying, in the course of our meetings. And we thank God for the close of our meeting after today's service. I have been well looked after by your pastor. And by his lovely wife. In fact, the wife has taken better care of me. Because your pastor, that yesterday morning, he made some omelette or something for me. And he shook too much white pepper and salt. But I ate for strength and not for pleasure. Amen. But I felt very much at home amongst you and amongst all the pastors and all of you who have helped to make me feel at home. In fact, I have to remind myself that I've left baby Paula and I have to go back. And I have also felt your love and your devotion to the Lord and to us, and I'm thankful to God for all that. I also want to thank you on behalf of my one and only husband. For all your letters and cards and all that you gave during his birthday, we have received them and we are grateful to you for them. You see, in the ministry, you also receive criticism. And criticism can be very painful. So sometimes when you find approval and appreciation and affirmation, it makes a difference. And it makes you feel that it's worth it after all. God bless you for strengthening the hand of my husband. And because you have been so good, I will release it more to you. It's been a lovely program. I know that a lot of work has gone on behind the scenes. And we thank God for all of you, both seen and unseen. Remember that your labor in the Lord, I can testify to that, is not in vain. Amen. And I thank the ladies who came with me all the way from Accra, West Africa. And the ladies who came from Maryland, even though I had been there the week before. Because we already have the Maryland convention. And I say to them, thank you for believing in me. It makes me feel it's worth it after all. Amen. Amen. And thank you to all of you for making Daughter You Can Make It successful. Your praise and worship is vibrant and powerful. And I have felt the presence of God literally from the first day we began. And I have said, God, this is really a house of worship. And I encourage you and your pastor. Your pastor is very gifted. I think that he should release himself more in the musical area for God to do more. Amen.
when I see Pastor praying, I can see that God is a miracle working man. I was the first to be born again among my siblings. And for many years, I've been on my knees asking God to touch even just one of them. And I would always look out of them all and wonder who would get born again first of all these guys in the house. And my father always used to say that of all of them, Pastor Payne would be a priest. In fact, he used to call him and encourage him to be a priest so that he would leave him more inheritance because priests don't have money. I mean, he was very serious about it. He'd always say, I wanted to be a priest myself, but somewhere along the line, you know, I didn't go quite that way. So, Payne, try, be a priest, okay? And don't worry about the financial aspect. I'll take care of you. But although he looked so good, he didn't get born again as we thought. He was vocaling, singing as a vocalist in the school band. He would take the mic and he would sing, Sail on down the line. And all the Wesley girls would stand up and get a standing ovation. And after the pop show, they would ask him for autographs. I thank God that today he stands in the house of God. To minister. Amen.
Time will fail me to talk about Pastor Kaka. When I was at his church for Daughter You Can Make It, I gave few revelations. The church said, indeed, the Lord is good. And his mercy endure forever. If you are here believing God for your loved ones, God is faithful. And God will do it. Every time I see them stand to minister or to preach, or, you know, I just become teary. I just have misty eyes, but God will be so good. God bless you, Pastor Payne. It's been worth it. Amen. Now for your youth choir. Your youth that came to dance, your choreographers, I can see hope. And I believe that there's coming growth in your youth ministry. God is about to do something that would explode. Amen. In Accra, we have the J Church. Pastor Ko is doing a good job. And I believe that God will give you like-minded spirit and heart here. By the grace of God, my son David plays the organ during church service, and Joshua is the worship leader on the lead guitar. And once in a while, Pastor Ko has asked David to preach, and it's been wonderful. I know that God is doing a great thing. As for Daniela, she's on a tangent of her own. But God will bring her. Amen. The Worcester choir was marvelous. I felt so bad that I wasn't able to tell them before they left yesterday. And that's for the New Jersey choir. I didn't want to say it because their pastor is not modest at all. But we thank God for their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning I want to talk to you about, daughter, you have tender eyes. Daughter, you have tender eyes. Amen. Types of kisses is for later. Genesis 30. Genesis 29 before we come to this. Genesis 29. We all know the story of Jacob and his two wives. Daughter, you have tender eyes. Genesis 29:15 onwards. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what should be your wages. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate or tender, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he dwelt and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also, for the service which you will serve with me till another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son, just like Pastor Joel, a third one, and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Amen. Amen. Daughter, you have tender eyes. I want you to know certain things about Leah this morning. First of all, she was not endowed with much natural beauty. She was not endowed with much natural beauty. Now, the meaning of Leah is tender eyes. And interpreted, it could mean timid, shy, and even attractive, but fearful. Now, Rachel, on the other hand, meant lively, vivacious, beautiful of countenance and of form. And that was Rachel. And Leah was not naturally endowed with much natural beauty. Now, many women consider their worth to be in their natural looks, in how they look. And Leah must have felt rejection having another sister who looked much prettier and much more preferred. Now, many women are not Miss America. And many women who are Miss America, when you see them afterwards, you see that the verse that the grass withers and the flower fades is real. But only the word of the Lord stands sure forever. Amen. Because by the time you're going for that beauty pageant, maybe you are in your late teens, you have not been challenged by anything in life, you don't have any children, any care, all that you think about is how you look. And you give all your attention and your investment to how you look till you go for this pageant. But after you win it, you begin to know that it's not enough. There's some emptiness. Things are not as they should be. I know a pastor's wife and a pastor herself. She's called Cheryl. She won this pageant. She was Miss America. And yet she got so bitter and so empty that she found the Lord. And today she ministers powerfully in America here, the word of God. Amen. So Leah was not endowed with much natural beauty. As if that was not enough, she became the victim of a man's greed and deceit. Leah did not tell the father, Laban, that I feel that my years are too many, I'm growing old, I'm worried, please get me a husband. She did not solicit help from her father. He got up on his own and said, I'll give you Rachel, and then used a deceitful way to get Jacob to marry Leah. The best Laban could have done was to say, you want to marry Rachel? I don't want Rachel to marry before Leah marries. So wait. So Leah gets married and then Rachel can marry. But Laban was a deceitful man, and we see that through the Bible. And Jacob had met his match. Because this Jacob himself was a deceiver. So through no fault of Leah's, she became a victim of a man's deceit and a man's greed. Because when he had two daughters, then Jacob had to wait 40 years for him. And also he would be paid the dowry in that culture. And so for him it was a money-making venture. For Laban, through no fault of Leah, she had become the victim of a man's greed and deceit. The third thing was that she was not the preferred one when it came to love. The Bible says that when Jacob got married, Leah didn't even know that Jacob had said that he wouldn't marry her or he didn't prefer her. She didn't know. And Laban, through his trickery and deceit, took her to the bedchamber. The Bible says that when Jacob lay with Leah, he consummated the marriage, as we say in law. You see, it's so important that it's legal. When we want to show whether there has been a marriage or not, we ask, was it consummated on the first night or within the first few hours? That's what we ask in law. In other words, ladies, it's a vital area. So, Leah went into this bedchamber, spent the night thinking her husband loved her, not knowing that she was just a sexual object. And when the morning came, Jacob was like, this is not what I chose. Within a week, Leah had a rival. On the very day of her marriage, she suffered rejection through no fault of her. She was just a victim of things happening around her. But the comforting thing is that because she was unloved, the Bible says, God opened her womb. Thank God that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he always sets a standard that is higher than the flood. There are many times in life that when the flood comes, it seems as if nothing else will be there. The flood takes over the whole room. And it takes the Spirit of God to set a standard against certain circumstances that seem to be running against you through no fault of yours. The Lord saw that Leah was unloved. And therefore, the Lord opened Leah's womb. Now, many of us as women, and even human beings, suffer rejection in many areas of our lives. Sometimes we don't feel accepted. Or you go somewhere and you don't have a sense of belonging or a sense of worth. It is almost as if you are being turned away, the way Leah felt that she was being turned away. She felt that she was being despised and not preferred. The opposite of rejection is acceptance. Amen. Rejection can come in various ways. And it leads us to go into relationships for different and usually unhealthy reasons. When people suffer rejection, they enter relationships for the wrong reasons. They are looking for love in all the wrong places because of the rejection that they have suffered. And sometimes as women, we propound the rejection. You know, you go into a relationship, that guy just maltreats you, domestically molests you, kicks you around, and you feel, after all, I was rejected, so if you kick me and still be with me, that's okay. That's all right. I'll just survive. Because you have lost your self-esteem and your self-worth. And you feel that it is better to be beaten than have nothing at all. Because of that, women also destroy relationships. They go into relationships, and because they have been rejected so much, like Leah, you see, that pain is not a headache. That pain is not a stomach ache. It is emotional pain. And sometimes it is greater than a headache. If you have headache, sometimes you would deal with it by Tylenol. Extra. Amen. If you have stomach ache, you deal with it, Dr. How? Menlox. Maylox. With Maylox. But if you have emotional pain, only Jesus can touch that wound and make you whole. So we go into wrong relationships. He said, he has a girlfriend, but I will hang by the side all the same. It's better than nothing. It's not everything in trousers that is meant for you. Amen. And the person keeps lying to you, lying to you. You see the lies. Women, my brother used to say, women have a bird's mind. When it comes to relationships, we have a bird's mind. Because we see the thing, we say, it's not that. He loves me. It doesn't matter. If he comes, and as soon as he comes, he just goes to the bedroom. After it's over, he goes. And then he roams and roams and roams. And when he likes, he comes back again. Am I a slut? It doesn't matter. At least I have somebody. Give me somebody. It doesn't matter how it comes. That all comes from a spirit of rejection. Amen. Rejection makes us walk in bitterness towards life. Like Naomi, which means pleasantness, we change our name and we say, call me Mara, because the hand of the Lord has gone against me. It was not the hand of the Lord. It was bitter circumstances. And it makes us bitter about life, and some of us bitter even about men. So that when God brings a blessing, we just say, all men are like this, period. In Ghana, there's a saying that a man is not a pillow to make your resting place. He has to be a rock so that you always don't lie down peacefully. You always feel that something can happen and be on your guard. But all these cliches and proverbs have come from experiences that people have been through. Rejection also brings about jealousy and envy. And that is why Cain and Abel, you know, God rejected one person's offering because it was not given from his heart. And following that rejection, one brother murdered the other because he couldn't stand the jealousy and the envy that came with it. Because of rejection, when we come to a place and people look confident, sure, secure, as women, because we don't have, and seeing that person reminds us of our lack, we resent the person. And it creates unnecessary jealousy and unnecessary envy. But if Jesus will make you whole, he will restore your self-esteem and make you what you have to be. Amen. It leads us in relationships to put everything in a human being, as if that human being will answer all our questions. And that is what happened to Leah. Some of us wives, we have not cultivated a relationship with Jesus. So any small thing your husband does, it affects you so much. The lights go off in your life. If he just, he's a bit grumpy and he just tells you, oh, your whole life goes off. You can't do anything. You can't eat. I'm so hurt. Why is he God? Don't put him on the throne of your life. Amen. He's supposed to be a blessing to you, but God is supposed to be your source for everything. Amen. It is not because husbands are not good. Husbands are a blessing. Amen. I'll be the first to testify. Because I have a near-perfect husband. Amen. In fact, a couple of months ago, I was telling him, you know, my greatest surprise as I've gotten married is like, what? To find out that you are human. Yeah.
So what exactly does it mean?
But you know, God gives us husbands, but they are not our source. That is why even when people become widows, God can look after them. If you are a single mother, God will provide for you. God has always been there for the fatherless. He has promised it in His word. Amen. And you do not have to feel that the light has gone off in your life and everything is darkness and everything is hopeless, because you will pile rejection upon rejection, negative emotion upon negative emotion, and you will never be whole and receive the wholeness that God gives you. Now, Leah being the unpreferred one and God having opened her womb, she decided that if that's the case, I am going to work at my husband's love until he loves me. She had suffered so much rejection that she was going about her relationship in the wrong way. Let's read on. Verse 31, Genesis 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For the Lord has surely looked on my affliction, which was true. Now therefore, my husband will love me. Now therefore, the first one was that the Lord had looked upon her affliction. It was true. But now therefore, my husband will love me. It is not what you do per se, because she was a victim of circumstances. Amen. Some of us women have suffered divorce, broken relationships, disappointment, even struggles in your relationship. You know what? God will set a table before you in the midst of your enemies. Amen. Usually, we translate that verse to mean that when you are eating, your enemies will see you. But sometimes what it means is that in the midst of adverse situations, God will lay a table before you. In the midst of things that seem unsolved, God will lay a table before you. And as you eat, you will forget about your enemies around you. And you will not be alive to them. Amen. Bishop was preaching on Psalm 23 in Accra, and he did a little sketch. He brought somebody that a table had been set before. And then various problems in life. Landlord problems. Unbeliever wife. So many things. And yet in the midst of that, God had set a table in the midst of the person's enemies. But the person kept looking at the enemy and wondering, what am I going to do? And as women, that is what we do, because we always seek a perfect world. And there is no such thing. Amen. There is no such thing. As I said on the first day, many of are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. There will be challenges. Even Jesus went through challenges. Why do we feel that our lives will not be that way? But God says that in the midst of the challenges, when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. If fire doesn't burn, then I'm not afraid to walk through it. Because what makes fire frightening is the fact that it will burn and burn you to char. But if I can walk through it and not get burned, hey, I'm ready. Amen. He said, when you go through the waters, it will not overwhelm you. Not because of what you are doing, but because of the greater one who is in you. Amen. The things in life are great. That's why we need a greater one. Amen. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Leah was still looking for Jacob's love. The Lord has looked upon her. Now, my husband will love me. And she called the child Simeon. Then she went, so she conceived again. And she bore another child. Verse 33. And she said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. You see, her problem has become her monument. Her problem has become her whole life. Her problem of just looking for a child has made her black out on God's blessings of giving, of her husband's love, has made her black out of God's blessings of giving her strong men who would stand as the tribe of Israel. She was not seeing that. She was seeing that small area of her life. Now that the Lord has heard that I am unloved, her problem is what she's calling everything after her problem. But you must call those things which be not as though they were. Amen. He has therefore given me this son also. Then she called his name Simeon, which means hatred. Can you believe it? You are describing your problem and you perpetuate it by giving a name so that every day when you call him, you will remember your problem. Some of you have perpetuated your past for too long. You have played the record and the story over and over again like a broken disc. You have chewed the food more than 24 hours in your mouth. It can't be, it's yucky, yeah? It can't be that you chew the same thing over and over again. Would you stay on the same page of a book forever and ever? It's time to allow the past to die. Amen. And one of the most effective ways is to stop discussing and talking about it. You have said all the ramifications, and he did this, and this happened, and the children went here, and we've heard. It's enough. Leave it and move on, because God has better territory for you. Amen. When we keep talking about the past, we perpetuate it. So make a conscious effort that this thing, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. When your friends see you and say, so how? How is the baby situation? Is it coming? So I'm just believing, Lord, I don't want to talk about it. Amen. And it will come to pass. You know, women, we are more fertile when we are more relaxed. We ovulate more easily. Isn't that so, Dr. Lindsay? When we are more relaxed. But when we are tense and we are stressed, fruitfulness cannot come. The new life that God wants to unleash in your life, it can't come. So enter his rest and allow him to work on you. Amen. Then she conceived again. Just like I conceived again. And bore a son. And she said, now this time, verse 34, my husband will become attached to me. Oh my God. Because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Levi. And Levi means attached. She's following that carrot like a donkey. And that carrot is fixed to something. The donkey doesn't know that as it moves, the carrot also moves. So he's following that thing. And now she's naming all the people after her problems. Attached. Attached. Let's begin to say things of faith. Let's begin to say things that look not as though they are, but they are. Because the Bible says God, he calls those things which be not as though they are. The world was created by the word of God. Speak the right things. Speak the right things into your marriage. Speak the right things into your partner. Speak the right things into your relationship. Speak the right things into your future. Have you not seen in your own life when you look back how God has always brought you through the hard places? And has God run out of miracles? No, he hasn't. There's one more in store for you. Amen. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah, which means praise. Then she stopped bearing. Because her reason for bearing and bearing, she was just perpetuating her problem. But when she came to that place, she said, now I will praise God. I've come to see that there's something to be thankful for after all. I've come to see that the Lord has been good. I've come to see that his mercy endure forever. I've come to see that in him there's no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turning. Now I will praise the Lord. And she called him Judah. For the first time, she had changed and turned around what she was saying. Amen. And she had stopped bearing. Daughter, you have tender eyes. The Lord is able to work in your situation when you come to the place of praise. You see, we are not saying that be so hypocritical that when you come to church and we ask you, how is it? Oh, bless the Lord. Jesus is seated on the throne. He's the majesty, cherubim and seraphim. We are not saying that. We are saying that share your problems. All right? Talk about the things that hurt you. After all, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and you may be healed. We women, we understand that better. That's why we live longer. We talk about our challenges. We don't hide them. We don't have to be macho. Nobody tells us we are not allowed to cry. We cry and we get better.
But some people cannot cry. And for some people, they must not show that things are shaking them. But we can cry and feel all right. We are allowed. Amen. So you talk about your problem. You grieve maybe sometimes even about your problem. But you must come to the place where you pray about your problem. You know, like Hannah, she had been going to the temple every year. She would just go and cry. And Peninnah, her adversary, would just perpetuate her problem. But Hannah had never withdrawn herself to see God's face aside. It was when the problems became unbearable, that problem drove her to the presence of God. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain things so that we will look up to Him and see that our redemption draws near. Because if He doesn't give us a trial, oh, some of us will not even be in a charismatic church. What do you mean? I mean, our noses will be stuck up and we'll say, these pastors will have come. And these mushroom churches. But one, when God gives you a need, you come humbly to the house of the Lord. You say, God, Pastor, I'm believing God for a baby. Stand with me. Sometimes the pastor cannot even speak good English, but he's anointed anyway. And God uses that problem to bring you into His presence. Amen. And so Leah turned her face into the right direction. And when Hannah went by the side, the Bible says they had all eaten, she withdrew from the crowd, and she went and she sought God's face. And she cried so much that the high priest said, I think you are drunk, the way you are behaving. Is it not comforting that we can come into His presence and even look mad and it doesn't matter? We don't need any protocol and any decorum. We can just be ourselves and we can tell God the way we feel. You know, sometimes as charismatics, we forget that. We are so used to faith language that when we come into the presence of God, we don't even want to be frank with Him. You know, God, I have a problem in this area. Will you just help me? It's not really big, but it's bothering me, and we leave it. Lord, you know, this sister, she makes me feel very bad. I don't have good feelings towards her, but I thank you that you said I should walk in love, so help me. Or you should come and say, God, in fact, this girl, she really annoys me. And God, did you see what she did? She did this and that and that and that. And did you hear what she said? Oh, God, I couldn't believe it. She actually said this. And when she said that, something rose in me like whatever. But God, I've come. Help me. Help me. But this is how I feel. Amen. This is how I feel, but help me. Frank, talk with God hurts nobody. And God will help you and meet you at the point of your need. When Hannah found the solution and she turned away, God met her at the point of her need. And when she went home, the Bible says Elkanah, her husband, knew her and she conceived. Some of us, we pray, but we don't do practical things. You pray for a husband, God gives you, but you don't do practical things to keep the marriage going. You say you want a child. You know, I was just counseling a couple before I came from Accra, and the husband was saying that this meeting you are having for couples believing God for a child is very good. Hey, because, sister, mommy, how can you have a child if you just have something to do with each other twice a month? How can that happen? And I said, what? What are you saying? Because I know the wife. I've been standing in prayer with her. And it doesn't even occur to me to ask that, are you doing the right thing? What has occurred to me to ask her is, do you know your ovulation time and all that? Are you praying? Not knowing that even availability, where it starts from, it's not there. So God does answer our prayers, but He expects you to do certain practical things. So when Hannah went and she prayed, she allowed Elkanah to know her. Amen. And when you go to prayer to God, you must ask God for wisdom to know what to do in the given situation. Amen. And Hannah, she found an answer. Now, Leah had a rival called Rachel. Genesis 30. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Leah did not know that she was something to be envied. She had always been the unpreferred one.
She had always been the rejected one. And yet Rachel, who had it all together, envied Leah. We women and men are never satisfied. Every time we have something, we crave for more. Every time we have something, we say the grass is green on the other side. I heard a woman preacher say, the grass is green on the other side. You will find out it has to be mowed once in a while, just like all grass. So Rachel was all that Leah didn't have. Rachel was not married by deceit. She was not married by a man's greed. She was not the unpreferred one. She was lively, vivacious, wonderful countenance. The Bible even says that. Even her structure was something else. That was Rachel. And Leah, apart from not being nice, also had a very timid personality. Tender eyes incorporate all that. But Rachel was lively, vivacious, somebody you would like to be with and like to talk to. A sanguine or a phlegmatic, you know? Phlegmatics get on with anybody because they don't tell you what their views are. They are just diplomatic and they flow with you everywhere and all the time. But Leah didn't have that. Apart from that, Jacob was willing to work for Rachel for 7 years, but not Leah. And so the father said, okay, fulfill a week. After a week, then I give you Rachel. So Rachel knew that Jacob loved her. And when Jacob took Rachel to the bedchamber, she did not suffer rejection. Rachel didn't know what it was like for the man to say, oh, is it you? Oh, no, 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 no. Then he took his bathrobe and went to see Laban. A new bride. Christian surprises. In fact, it is said that it is from that story that now they say you may unveil the bride so that we all know whether it's Rachel or Leah in weddings. That's why we say now you may unveil the bride to see if that is what you chose. If it's Mary or Rosemary, let us know now before you take her to the bedroom and say, oh, Rachel did not suffer any of these things, but she was barren and she could not have children, and she also needed to depend on the Lord. No matter what kind of woman you are, it's only Jesus that can satisfy. No matter what kind of husband or marriage you have, it is only Jesus that can satisfy. No matter what relationship you have, it is only Christ that can give you fulfillment. We seek fulfillment in our academic pursuits, who we are. We seek fulfillment in the corporate world. We seek fulfillment even in our family lives. But we come to the point where we say, like Solomon, who had everything, including 700 concubines and 300 wives, that all is vanity. Amen. So even though Rachel seemed to have it all together, she still had a need. Each one of us has a need. Each one of us has something that no one else can satisfy. And if we will learn to develop intimacy with the Father, we will come to that place where we will find fulfillment. Our worth is in what we are in Christ. The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. You may not be accepted according to the worldly standards, but can you not see that the things of the world come and go, including the World Trade Center? But the things that God has said, they stand sure. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands sure. So the foundation of your life must be Christ. So that when you have any crisis, any change, amen? Anything comes your way, the anchor of your life will be Christ. And after the storm, you will see that you are still surviving and that you made it. Ladies, don't look for fulfillment in the wrong places. Don't listen to what people say, or maybe you see Naomi Campbell, I want to be like her. I want a waistline like her. She has it all, but she doesn't have it all. Amen. You may think that it is the size of your waist or your vital statistics that will make you happy. But you will get it and you will realize that it's not that. You will think that maybe when I make a fashion statement, then I will really feel that. Or even when you have every applause and admiration and approval from everybody, you will still see that you are empty. That is why many great people like Beethoven, like Bach, they suffered great depression. Because after all your accomplishments, only Jesus can satisfy. And that is what the woman at the well in Samaria, she found out. She had been through 5 relationships. And the one that she was staying with was not her husband. She had been marrying and marrying. She decided, now let's just live together. Because it seems things are not working. But even when she made that change, she realized that still, other things were not working. So she met Jesus at the well of life. And Jesus said, I'll give you water so that you will thirst no more. It doesn't mean that you will not have challenges, but it means that in the midst of the challenges, He can satisfy you. In the midst of the challenges, He can bring hope. And with the woman at the well, the Bible says that when Jesus spoke and ministered to her, she abandoned her well and went to the city. And guess what? She met Jesus. The pot that she was bringing to come and carry water became a useless pot because she had found the living water. This afternoon, may you find the living water. You may be a Christian already. You may even have been a Christian for years. But maybe when they say God loves you, you don't even understand it. But Paul prayed for the church. And he said that you may know the love of God. The love, the height, the breadth, the depth. That you may know that love of God. I pray that it will be the prayer of everybody here. That you will know the love of God. Not head knowledge. But in the midst of everything, I have asked God for it before, and I'm talking from a personal testimony, where I would get up in my bed and I would feel a presence. This is literal. A presence of love. It's a certain very good feeling that only Jesus can give. If you will ask God to know His love, you will know it. And when you know it, all other loves will fade in the presence of that love. May God open your eyes, give you revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that you will know the love of God. Now, if you're a woman here, and you've suffered rejection, and you are still suffering rejection, I just want to encourage you from Isaiah 53. Shall we turn our Bibles? Isaiah 53. Oh boy. Isaiah is not in the New Testament. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. I'll read the second part of verse 2. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Amen. Now, this is talking about Jesus. He says He has no form of comeliness, that when we see Him, we should desire Him. Leah had no form of comeliness. There was nothing comely about Leah, that when anybody saw him, her, or even Jacob saw her, he would desire her. He is despised and rejected by men. Leah was despised, and she was rejected. And some of us have been despised. Even from our family background, we've been told, you will not amount to anything. You are a dump head. Out of all your siblings, you don't seem to be going for it. Your teachers have said things to you. Your playmates have said things to you. And like Leah, you have named yourself after all these things. But a new day is dawning. Yeah. Amen. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Leah was acquainted with grief. She was a woman of much sorrow. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. And we did not esteem him. Leah had been despised. And she was not esteemed by her father, by her husband, even by her sister maybe, and the people around her. But God esteemed Jesus. The Bible says that after his resurrection, he gave him a name that is above all names. That at the mention of that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess including the people who despise him, that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you will go into the mirror of the Word, as the book of James says, and you will forever look into that mirror, you will know who you are in Christ. And every time you go out and the wind blows, and your hair gets tousled, you will come back and look in the mirror again, and put that hair into place, and say, look, I may have gone through all these things, but the mirror of the Word tells me that I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and to good works, who God has before ordained that I should walk in them. Daughter, you have tender eyes, and a new day is dawning. Amen. Shall we stand? Over. Above all nations, above all those, above all the world has ever known. Pastor Blaine, please help me. Above all.
There's no way.
Rejected and alone, like a rose,
he was trampled down upon. If you've been trampled down upon by what you have been told about yourself, sometimes it's even a spouse that has said terrible things to you about who you are. Sometimes it's circumstances that has made you think about who I am. But like Jesus, he has taken your fall so that you will be raised up today. Begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to receive a new identity. Begin to receive the spirit of acceptance. Begin to decide to go back to the Word, to look in the mirror, and to be all that God wants you to be. Oh, begin to speak to God.
Crucify. Lay behind the stone. You lay to God. Rejected and alone. Thy hero. Trample down the ground. You took the fall.
Father, I lift up every life here before you. I thank you, God, that you are the great physician and you know the areas in our life where we need healing, where we need restoration, where we need a touch from you. Lord, sometimes we have identified ourselves with the things we do, or even our positions in various places. But thank you that we are more than that, that we are actually children of a King. I pray for everybody, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask for your touch this afternoon. I ask that the broken shall be made whole. I ask, oh Holy Spirit, that those that are leaking shall be put together again, so that new life shall ease out. I pray for those who are clinging to the past. I ask for supernatural power to leave the past behind, Lord, and to embrace the new things that you are doing. For you have said in your word that, behold, I do a new thing. Father, we stand on your promises this afternoon. And we say, do a new thing in every life. Do a new thing in the broken places. Do a new thing in the places of desolation. Do a new thing among the ruins. Do a new thing even when we do not see hope. Thank you, God. And thank you that you are able to do far more, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I think or imagine or even ask you for on behalf of your people. Amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.